It really is great to be with you this morning. I don't have a lot of time to go into the things that we do in our little community in Urban Expression, but there might just be along the way little flavours, and one of which is around books. So we're a big fan of stories in our community, and one of the boys has just got for his third birthday every Mr. Man book that exists, so a huge great library. And I wonder if anyone knows from the Mr. Men who this one is. Any ideas? Mr. Forgetful. We've got some fans in the house. Brilliant. It is. So if you've read this book, which you may have done, you will know that he is really rather absent-minded. He forgets where he is. He forgets what he's done. He forgets what he's meant to do. So there's stories about him not posting letters and then finding them, not passing on messages that have been given to him. Literally, anything he is told to do or meant to remember, he forgets. But thankfully, the story ends well, because Mr. Forgetful has some really good people in his world who help him to remember. And we had a little look at that story as a way of thinking about ourselves and how we sometimes need other people to remember stuff. Do you need people around you from time to time to perhaps give you a little nudge or to leave you, there's some nods, leave you a little note or point you in the right direction? I know that I do. In fact, I'm fairly sure we all do. And I think this is one of the great gifts of being church, that we are called to be part of a community and we are gifted people to do life with. And one of the things that's already blessed me this morning is listening to your words of thanks, and so many of them are about love for one another. There's so many one another's in the Bible, and you've just shared loads of them there, just in a few moments, of how you one another each other. You come alongside each other, you help each other, you love on each other. And I think this is one of God's gifts to us. The church doesn't get great press often, which is a deep sadness to me. But I wish more and more that those, like, people could hear what you've shared this morning, that this is a loving, welcoming, beautiful community, albeit full of people with lots of other things going on in their lives. Sometimes, you know, we're all a bit broken, but actually what prevails, and once we kind of got going on those, it snowballed into stories of love and care. And so I think God gives us each other to remind us and to keep pointing each other back to him so that we might remember his love and remember our calling and be more like the people that we were created to be. And so as I thought about you guys and prayed for you guys on your anniversary Sunday, this is kind of what came to mind, that this is a built-in opportunity to encourage each other and to remember what God has done for you and for me, but particularly for you as a people here. It's a built-in way of helping us to remember who and whose we are. And it was also joyous to notice that the communion table is here, because that's another one of those gifts that God gives us. And it says in the liturgy, doesn't it? Jesus said to us, remember, whenever you gather and whenever you share bread, remember me. It's a way of calling us back, reminding us what it means to be the people of God, the church, collectively. Because just as in our individual journeys, we need little signposts and little notes and little pokes from each other to remember, so we do in the church. In the midst of activity, it's easy to lose track and sometimes to drift. Last week was half term, and I had the wonderful experience of going sailing. There's a picture here. This is me trying to steer a boat, or as I've now learnt, helming the boat, you know. I had no idea what I was doing. So I got to go away with, there's four women, three of whom we're all novices, we're all literally being shown the ropes, and then our wonderful skipper, who is very experienced and very, very patient with us. But one of the things she insisted is that we all have a go at helming the boat. And to be honest, it's harder than you might think. Has then, have we got any sailors? Anyone been on a boat, had a go? A little bit? Oh, yeah, quite a lot. Okay. Well, hopefully, maybe you're all pros and know what you're doing, but I certainly didn't. So she explained to me that this is the same as a car, in that you have a wheel and you turn it left to go left, although I was going left to go left and right to go right, and she was a bit concerned that we might have a problem. But the pesky thing is that there's a sea that is ever-changing beneath you, and often there's this wind that's ever-changing around you. And so unless you actually keep a really close check on the map and checking with the other people in the boat and adjusting the direction, you can actually drift off course really quite easily. So I'm pointing the nose of the boat at this landmark that she's told me to point at, and we're having a little chat, and then I look up and we're no longer pointing at the thing anymore, and we're sort of drifting over here, and she's like, a bit more, like, you can feel the fear in her getting higher, bless her. And it's particularly anxiety inducing because they put these things in the sea, these giant buoys that are meant to help navigate you, but actually, you know, when you're in that situation, you can come quite close to hitting them. So we need to keep a check on the map, and that drift is what we are trying to avoid. We want to keep focused and firm on where it is that we are going. And in today's reading, Peter is writing to this little group of established Christians, a little church, to remind and encourage them to keep on keeping on, to keep focused, so that they can continue to head in the right direction and not succumb to their equivalent of the wind and the waves. And he reminds them of God's promises, saying, even though you know these truths and are firmly established in them, I think it's right to refresh your memory. We know these truths. They will not be unfamiliar to us. But on days like today, we just get to bring ourselves back to the centre again. This is, in some ways, is nothing new. You and God as a church are already doing this, and you've borne witness to it this morning in your prayers of thanks. You are already doing this. The encouragement this morning is to stay focused, to keep on keeping going. It's just a gentle reminder to keep your eyes on him. And what Peter was saying to the church is that it's still, even though you know these things, it's still right for us to talk about where you started, to cast your mind back to how you felt when you met God and when you encountered him in your heart, and use that as your steering point. Because there will always be those things that are trying in their subtlest of ways to steer you away. A few years ago, I came across a little animated parable that I think illustrates this quite well. So we're going to play it, and it's called I Love Elvis.
In a dusty old attic at his grandfather's house, a curious wee boy stumbled upon a box of old records. As he explored his new treasure, the wee boy pulled out a record that seemed different from the rest. He persuaded the old man to play him the record, and as each song played, the wee boy fell in love with the music. Music he had never heard before, music he wanted to hear again. The record played over and over all day long as the boy asked questions about the man on the cover. It didn't take him very long to realize that he loved Elvis. He read every Elvis story he could find. He watched videos and studied the dance moves. He spent hours learning the songs and would perform to anyone who was prepared to watch. Each morning, he slicked his hair back in the mirror and turned up his collar. The more the wee boy knew about Elvis, the more he loved Elvis. One day, his grandfather suggested he join an Elvis club. Excited to find others who loved Elvis, the wee boy began searching for one. He found a club close by that met in the most beautiful theatre he had ever seen. He attended the club for weeks, and alongside the other members, the wee boy struggled to keep up. He tried hard to know as much as everyone else, to remember all the songs and keep his collar up. But he knew they thought he just wasn't good enough. The wee boy decided to try another club. At this club they talked lots about Elvis and listened to all that he knew about Elvis too. He began to learn more and more and couldn't wait to go back each week. After a while though, the wee boy wondered why no one really looked like Elvis. They never slicked back their hair, they never practiced the song, in fact, they never practiced anything. The wee boy realized that this club was not right for him either. He tried hard to search for another club, but the only one he found looked like an Elvis club, but he wasn't sure if he even knew who Elvis was. The wee boy gave up his search for an Elvis club. It was too hard to find one that helped him be like Elvis, so he would have to do it by himself. For a long time, he slicked his hair back, turned up his collar, and practiced the songs as best he could. But around him, many sang different songs. The wee boy still loved Elvis, but it wasn't long before he stopped looking like Elvis. It wasn't long before he stopped singing Elvis songs. Many fine records in the attic, but too many stopped singing the songs.
Onto the cat. Many find records in the attic, but too many stop singing the songs. It's a familiar story. Many encounter God and we can follow him with such passion and zeal at the start, but then get caught up maybe in activity or programs or courses, just the doing, and forget what it means to be the people of God. And there's another wee parable. This is the cat that a guy called Peter Rollins wrote about how over time, even the very spiritual practices that we think are helping us to encounter God sometimes have profoundly missed the point. So he wrote that there was once a wise teacher who would go to the temple every evening to pray with his disciples. By the temple, there was a stray cat who would wander in every evening and disturb the prayers and disturb the peace. So, each evening before prayers, the teacher would tie the cat to a tree outside before entering. The teacher was old and passed away a few years later. His disciples continued to tie the cat to the tree each evening before prayers. Eventually, the cat died, and some of the disciples purchased a new cat so that they could continue the ritual. After 100 years, the tree died and a new one was quickly planted so that the cat, by now the 18th generation cat, could be tied to it. Over the centuries, learned scholars began to write books on the symbolic meaning of the act of tying the cat to the tree. Rollins is a bit of a provocative writer, and that parable is definitely a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it points towards an important truth. We can get distracted. We can miss the point. We can easily drift away if we don't keep reminding ourselves and each other about who we are, about whose we are, and about what we're here to do. And so what does Peter say that is? Well, firstly, from verses 1 to 3, he says that this is the work of God. Everything got started in God and everything will continue in God for his glory. And the amazing thing is that we are graciously invited to participate in that, to experience the love of God and to live into his promises. And so, as an aside, no matter how far we've drifted, no matter how far off course we might go, a warm welcome always awaits, and the ongoing provision of what we need to do life well with God, we can always return. Secondly, in verses 5 to 7, there's a list of character qualities. It's not a list of imperatives, duties, or activities, and there's no how-to instructions here, but it's more about the kind of people that we will be becoming as we journey together, as we seek to follow Jesus and look like Jesus, become like him. And in fact, surprise, surprise, it will make us more like him. For those character qualities are the traits of God, Peter says, and the way in which we become participants in the divine nature of God. I'll just say that again. We become participants in the divine nature of God, is what Peter tells us. What? That's amazing. Peter gives us a list unlike any others in Scripture. So there's the fruits of the Spirit in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, and more godly qualities in 1 Timothy 6. But these are different still, which probably means that they've kind of been slightly tailored to this particular group, this particular community. Which means that it's something that we can obviously still learn from, but we might want to acknowledge that there's other things we'd want to include. Can we pop them up, the next slide up on the screen? So these are the things that Peter lists. And in brackets are what the Message translation puts them as. So faith, goodness or good character, knowledge, spiritual understanding, self-control, alert discipline, perseverance, passion, patience, godliness, reverent wonder, mutual affection, warm friendliness, and love, generous love. I just want you for a moment to have a little look at the list and maybe a chat with the person next to you about what do you notice in this list? Is there something that stands out to you in this list? And what might help you with these things in your own life and in your life as the church here? So just a few minutes to buzz with the person next to you. What do you notice? What stands out? And what might help you? Draw us back together again. Does anyone have a particular observation or something they were drawn to that they'd be willing to share? Lots of lovely conversation, but not so much going forward. That's okay. Yeah. So that was about the mutual affection and the love has to come from being fed by Jesus first. So unless we are filled, we can't give that out. Brilliant. Thank you. Anyone else? Interesting. People heard that from the laughter. So the difference between loving and liking and where our call in that is. And do we have to love and like everyone? Just leave that there as a question. Yeah?
I think faith is foundational.
Yeah.
And the other
things, yeah. 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 Maybe there's a reason it's at the top of the list. Thank you. Helpful. Yeah. So faith is foundational and the other things stem from and out of our faith. Anyone else? I think it's a pretty special list. It is purposeful in its order, with each quality building on the previous one. And I think it's very significant that it begins with faith, which actually is a gift to us. It's a given if we want to receive it. And then, as you say, everything else works out of that. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it finishes with love. So all of that is sandwiched between faith and love. It is logical, not chronological, though. So in other words, you don't have to have got down your spiritual understanding before you can move on to your alert discipline. So the idea is that all of those are interrelated and they complement one another. And they will continue as we develop and grow in them to remind us about who we are and keep us on track with God, to keep Jesus as our focus and build a likeness to him as we seek to express these things more and more in our own journeys with him, but also in the life of our church. I don't know if there was something, when I read them, there was certainly one that jumped out to me, and I'd like to take that to God this week and ask the question of why. And I just want to leave that with you. If there was something that jumped out to you, maybe you would like to ask God about that this week. I encourage you to lean into these and also to think about the space that you might need to ponder on them. And I guess the beginning was about the things that sometimes crowd out God and mean that we're not quite on target with him. We are drifting. So is there a little space that you might need to make in order to hold some of these things with God this week? And that might just be something small, or it might be something bigger, or it might be something as a church you want to say, actually, maybe we want to lean into this. And if we're going to choose that, then maybe we have to say no to that for this season. But God has got good things for his people, and Jesus said that he will build his church, and wants to encourage you today and into this new year in the things that you are doing for him and with him, and in the things that he is doing through you. And I wonder, to close, if you would stand with me and if I could pray for you as you go into this next season and new year with him. Please do stand if you're able. Lord, I sometimes think that it's a bit strange that you call us to be your church. Yet you've always worked through men and women in the working out of your purpose, through prophets and disciples, leaders, followers, preachers, listeners. You have called your people, that your redeeming love might work in them and through them. And above all, in Jesus, your word has become flesh. A human being has lived your will. He has died for us, and you have raised him for us, that he might be our foundation and our head. God, we pray today that you would fill us with his love, that we might truly be his disciples. And we dedicate ourselves again to you now, to being your people. Accept our worship and our prayers, we pray, our intentions and our gifts. All has come from you, and now as we pray, may your spirit fill us afresh. Prompt us and empower us to be your people. Grant us your grace that we might be faithful to our calling as your church. Deepen our faith, strengthen our love, and increase our hope that we might be an offering acceptable to you and available for your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May grace and peace be yours many times over as you deepen in experience and knowledge and love of him. Amen.